right, so I've been studying the reproductive biology and behavior of Diaphrena citri, and this is this species vectors a bacterium which is responsible for Wanglongbing, or citrus greening disease. And this is one of the world's most serious diseases of citrus. It ultimately kills a tree in maybe 3 to 5 years, and in the meantime, the tree is producing this misshapen, discolored, bitter-tasting, unmarketable fruit. So despite the huge economic importance that Diaphrena citri has on the citrus industry as a vector of Wanglongbing, relatively little has been published about the basic biology, behavior, and ecology of the vector. So we set out to characterize the effects of multiple mating on female reproductive output. We looked at fecundity, fertility, which I'm not going to be talking about today, and we also looked at the effects of different mating treatments on female longevity. So this is the basic setup of the experiment. So there's one female, she's either paired with one male or grouped with three males, and those groupings are maintained for either 24 hours or for 2 weeks. So that yields these four different treatments: the single male, short duration, single male, long duration, multiple male, short duration, and multiple male, long duration. So I'll expect you to remember those two-letter codes in the future. So the experiments were conducted within these small plastic vial cages that were fitted down over individual Maria paniculata plants, the orange jasmine, which is a close relative of citrus, and it tends to produce flush or immature growth a little more reliably than citrus does, and that's essentially the only place that females will lay their eggs. So we transferred females to a new seedling every 4 to 5 days for an 18-19 day observation period, and that yielded four different sort of egg batches, which is sort of my own construct, since they don't really lay eggs in batches. But so again, the long duration treatments, the females were grouped with males for 2 weeks, so that fourth egg batch is in the absence of males. And so these are the results of the 2x2 repeated measures ANOVA. So this is the effect of the treatments on the number of eggs laid per female per day, and you can see that there's a significant interaction effect here. The main effects of number of males and grouping duration were not did not have a significant effect on the number of eggs that females laid per day, but the interaction term was significant. I'll come back to this table in a moment, but first I want to clarify the nature of that interaction. So these are the short duration treatments on the left and the long duration treatments on the right, and you can see that females that were grouped with three males for a short duration laid more eggs than females that were paired with one male for a short duration, and then the trend was reversed in the long duration treatments. Females are laying more eggs per day when grouped with one male versus being grouped with three males. So it looks like females benefit from mating multiply, but too many males is a bad thing, or for too long a period. So let's revisit this table here. So the successive egg batches collected, so that's the repeated effect of looking at four successive egg batches, and there is a significant interaction effect with that repeated effect and the grouping duration. So let us turn to this figure to look at the nature of that interaction. So these are in these open symbols here, these are the short duration treatments, and the closed symbols are the long duration treatments, and they sort of fell out together. And you can see across all treatments there tends to be an increase in the number of eggs that females are laying between the first batch of eggs collected and the second batch. And here you can see this is the number of days following the establishment of treatment, so that's how that relates to the egg batch. So there's this increase in the number of eggs that females lay for these short duration treatments, and then it starts dropping off after that, and it seems to be a little bit steeper for the single male short duration treatment. So again, females are deriving a benefit from mating with multiple males. If you look at the long duration treatments, the most striking pattern you see is this jump in the number of eggs that females lay between the third and fourth batches of eggs collected. And so again, for these long duration treatments, females were grouped with males up until this 14-day period. And so it looks like the continued presence of males is constraining oviposition by females, and once the males are gone, they start laying more eggs. So again, females benefit from mating multiply, but there's a negative effect of having too many males around, so they need to mate and then go off on their own, which is understandable, I guess. So there's another treatment that I did that I hadn't mentioned, what I call the single male punctuated mating treatment. So this started out being identical to the single male short duration treatment. Females were grouped with one male for 24 hours. That male was removed, and then that same male was added here for a second mating at 9 days. And you can see here, those females didn't show this drop in the number of eggs laid as for the single male short duration treatment. So they need to mate multiply, but maybe not necessarily a whole lot. As long as they mate frequently, sort of over time, that might be enough to maintain high reproductive output. So this is another way of looking at the data, to include that punctuated mating treatment here. And this is just the total number of eggs that females laid over the duration of the observation period. You can see females in the multiple male long duration treatment laid fewer eggs than in the other treatments, and females in these three treatments that featured some degree of multiple mating in one form or another laid more eggs, or at least tended to lay more eggs relative to the females that were grouped with one male for a short duration. And these are the longevity data. So again, I'm throwing in another treatment on you here. This is the virgin female treatment. And once again, the multiple male long duration treatment, these females did the worst. They didn't live as long as the other females. The single male long duration treatment, these females did not live as long as the virgins, and these other treatments, these females tended to live as long as the virgins did. So again, there's a benefit to mating multiply, but continued presence of males exerts a negative effect on the females, and that may be due to physical harassment, which I observed a few times, and it may be due to sort of chemical harassment by maybe males transferring accessory gland products that are maybe enhancing an individual male's relative fertilization success, but perhaps to the detriment of the female's total fitness. And so that's an area that would be worth exploring in the future. So to summarize, females do require multiple matings to maintain high reproductive output, and this seems to be common among psyllids so far. There hasn't been a whole lot of work done in this area, but for the most part, females seem to require multiple matings. And females seem to be able to store sperm from multiple males. The females that are grouped with three males for that short time period tend to lay more eggs, and that decline was sort of more gradual relative to females that were grouped with one male for a short duration. And it also looks like multiple mating might be required over time. Again, that punctuated mating treatment, females benefited from mating with just that one male over time. So that has some interesting implications on, you know, what females do after they mate. Presumably they want to just get away from the males and start laying eggs, and so they might be moving into uninfested areas and, of course, spreading more psyllids around and spreading more disease. And again, that's related to that female's oviposition is constrained by the continued presence of males. So I guess I'll take a lot of questions. Yeah, Mike?
I didn't pick this up. Did you look at the time to oviposit in the one male short duration versus the three male short duration?
How long it took? Yeah. Did I look at how long it took after mating before they started laying eggs? I believe I did. And I can't remember what the results were. I think that the females that were grouped with multiple males started laying eggs a little bit later, but it might have been not necessarily on the time scale that I was looking. I was checking like once a day, and I think it might have taken them, you know, a few hours later. These females will generally start laying eggs immediately after mating, So it would have taken a lot of work to sort of track each one and see when they started laying. Yeah, I did not mention that, but they were 4 to 6 days old when the mating treatments were established. And you asked, how did I sex them? Well, I collected nymphs from our colony, put them in those little vial containers that you saw, and so I could get their age, and then just sex them on the, just looking at the, just under a microscope, underneath, like holding the vial container underneath the microscope and looking at the external reproductive organs. Christelle? I did not dissect them to count spermatophores, no. But presumably the multiply mated females would have more spermatophores, yeah. But I've not done that, no.
What's the courtship behavior like in these guys?
What is the courtship behavior like? They actually, there was a talk yesterday by Richard Mankin. We were doing some work with him at the ARS lab in Gainesville. And they do this vibrational calling behavior. So there's a call by the male and a reply by the female, just buzzing their wings. However, that doesn't seem to be a necessary precursor to mating in this species or in other psyllids. So sometimes they do that before mating, and the female will reply, call, reply. The male will eventually find the female, and they start mating. But from what I have seen, I've looked at a few mating pairs initiating under the microscope, and from what I see, there's not a whole lot that's going on. It's sort of the male bumps into the female and he hops right on. So, is there another question, or am I out of time?